I'm gonna wait till we're live on all of them.
This one's good.
Is that YouTube?
This is YouTube.
Shalom, YouTube.
Vimeo.
Hakol Havarim Be'Israel. Baruch Hashem Yeshua.
Facebook.
Instagram Live.
We used to be so simple. Okay.
Hold on.
All right. Hello, everybody. We're here at S4C with a capacity crowd. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Yellow people. All right. Umberto is here, and we've been broadcasting. One of the brothers down in Mexico has been translating the messages to our friends in Mexico. And he wanted him to relay a message to the people that are watching there, and then Umberto is going to also pray in. So go ahead, come over here. Let me give you a microphone. Don't walk away with that.
Okay, I've been estado comunicándome con el hermano Abel en Ciudad de México, y él me estaba preguntando si había la posibilidad de que se hiciera público que él le gustaría empezar una iglesia o una congregación, un grupo pequeño, lo que sea. Y todos los que están viendo en Ciudad de México, por favor, manden un email al Pastor Ben, en Pastor Ben los va a comunicar, claro, Abel y yo vamos a estar todos ahí, pero sería un principio en Ciudad de México. Y de ahí en más, a juntar otras ciudades. Nada más en México, pero en todos los países que hablen español.
Amen. Now say the name.
Well, I've been communicating with Evo on Mexico City, and he would like for us to help him to connect with other brothers in Mexico City, so that way he can start a small congregation or a Bible study or anything. So we'll be with the S4C teachings, of course.
See, that's good, man. Your Spanish is better than mine.
Amen.
Yeah. So is Pastor Ben. Pray us in, Humberto.
Okay. Father God, Lord, we thank you that you bless us with an awesome day as actually the beginning of the day in your calendar, Father God. We ask that we're going to start this day and starting your word, Father God. We ask that you anoint Pastor Sandy and everybody that's watching and listening to this service right now or later when they replay it, and we ask for your word to be here and to go and just bring people closer to you, Father God. Let us know whatever it is that you want us to work with so we can be closer to you and ready to meet up with you in the clouds. In Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' name we trust, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for
that.
All right. Is Barbara's birthday?
Yesterday?
Yeah. 70?
70.
Man! You squashed my little 60. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday, Barbara. Happy birthday, happy birthday, Barbara. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. She is a young 70.
Yes, she is.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Okay, hey, you guys. Yes. I know, end of a generation, huh? Let's get out of here. Okay, we are talking today about the 27th of Heshvan, which is either tonight in Israel or tomorrow night in Israel begins the 27th of Heshvan. We're basing that based on the new moon and trying to stay on schedule. So the 27th of Heshvan, why is the 27th of Heshvan so important? Because on the 27th of Heshvan is the day that God said to Noah and his family, come off the ark, The journey is over. So that's what we want to hear. It's over. It's been a year and more. It's time to come off the ark, come on home, and then the rest of the prophecies can then take place. What is about to take place is the emergence. Well, it's the same pattern, okay? So let's look at the pattern of the ark, the journey on the ark, and then let's look at what happened immediately after they came off the ark, okay? So let's go to Genesis. And we'll be in Genesis chapter 8. And we'll start at verse 14. And it says, by the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. We'll use the English word dry, but we know it means that it had been destroyed. And it said, so on the 27th day of the second month, which is now, because God flipped the calendar, the eighth month. So on the 27th day of Heshvan, the earth was completely dry. And it said, then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wives and your sons and their wives, and bring out every kind of living animal. And then, so therefore, now the journey in the ark was over. It had been over a year that they had been on the ark, and the flood had began. The date for the 27th of Heshvan, that one chapter, is the same numerical value as Genesis chapter 1. So in saying that date, God is saying this is a brand new beginning. They both begin, end with the word ha'aretz, which means the earth. So it's a new beginning for the earth. And then somewhere Heshvan 27th is the new beginning for the earth. And I'm hoping and praying that the new beginning for the earth is that God's about to clean it up and we can get out of here. Yeah. Because God said, come off the ark. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Hallelujah. And we're going to see what happened after the ark. Who became the prominent figure after the flood? It says, now the whole world had one language and one common speech. Okay? As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. So now it says this, look. The whole world was speaking one language, one common speech. Everyone was united. So what is God telling you? Now you're going to see a one world government, okay? Now you're going to see the whole world unite as one. Is it because they want to or they're being forced? They're being forced. Remember, Nimrod said, no one's leaving, everyone's staying here. And we're going to build here, and we don't want to be spread out amongst the earth. We want to all stay here, and you're going to all stay here and serve Nimrod. Now, you know, God's thing is be fruitful and multiply and do what? And fill the earth. So it's always been God's commandment to fill the earth. But it was Nimrod's command that no, we're not going to fill the earth. We're going to stay in this one area. And everybody's going to serve Nimrod. Now, Nimrod has two stories, one by the Illuminati and one by the Bible, okay? So you got to remember that the people who are in control of this world love Nimrod. They see Nimrod as being the first Antichrist in the world. He was the first world dictator. And so they honor him. They pray every time we get a new president. You know what we're praying for? You know when they stand in front of the obelisk is on the other side? The obelisk is representing praying for the return of Nimrod. When a new pope comes into office, they have the same obelisk right there in front of the pope. And you know what they're praying for? The return of Nimrod. So in their minds, they're all praying for the return of the Antichrist, whereas we see, oh, they're standing in front of the National Monument, you know. And so if you know the history and where that came from, you'll understand that they're only praying that Nimrod would return. In Egypt, they had also this structure in Egypt. And when they had a new pharaoh, they would have the obelisk, just the same as you have in Washington, D.C., the same as you have in the Vatican. They had it in Egypt. And when they had a new pope, they stood in front of the obelisk and they prayed for the return of Nimrod. Okay? Huh? It is a phallus symbol. I was trying not to go there, you know. I'm trying to keep PG in the pit here. But yeah, we can't talk about that, because if you remember when the guy got caught, the pedophilia guy got caught, one of the pictures that they took out of his house had a fish symbol on this end, and it had 14, the number 14 on this end, and a fish symbol on that end. And the fish symbol represented Semiramis, who they say really was a mermaid goddess. And they had 14 because they found 13 parts of Nimrod's body, but his manly parts they did not find, the phallus they did not find. So they erected a statue to it, which is what the Washington Monument is, a statue to the lost part of Nimrod. And the same thing in Vatican, and the same thing they used in Egypt as well. And they're all praying for the return of the Antichrist to rule the world, okay? Now, understand this. God has a plan when he wrote the Bible. God already knew that there would be a Babylon. The place that he erected in Shinar, this place was called Babylon, okay? Babylon is the birthplace of everything satanic and pagan, okay? And Babylon is where Nimrod worshiped these different gods and these different idols. In Babylon is where all of these this trouble began. And so let me that's what I'll do. Now watch this. I'm going to read to you out of the book of Jasher, okay? So you can see what really happened to Nimrod. Because if you don't know what really happened to him, you'll think that the Illuminati story is true, and it's not. It's just a pagan thing they thought of and a religion they thought of so that they can ask for the return of Nimrod or the Antichrist. Okay, this is what happened to Nimrod. It says in chapter 27 of Jasher, verse 7, and Nimrod and two of his men that were with him came to the place where they were, and Esau started suddenly from his lurking place and drew a sword and hastened and ran to Nimrod and cut off his head. So Esau took a sword and cut off Nimrod's head. He had two other people with him. It says then, and Esau fought a desperate fight with two men that were with Nimrod. And when they called out to him, Esau turned to him and smote them to death, both by the sword. So he kills Nimrod, cuts off his head. This is in accordance with scripture. There's always going to be three that have to be destroyed. You understand? There's always going to be three that have to be destroyed. The Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet. The beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet. All three have to be destroyed in accordance to scripture. And so now you have, even in the story of Nimrod, to show that he's representing the Antichrist, he gets his head chopped off, just as the giant. What is the giant that fights with David, against David? Goliath, right? But how, 6 cubits tall, 6 pieces of weapon, a spear that weighs 600 pounds, he's a 666 giant, he gets his head chopped off. You understand? So the whole thing is about once God destroys Satan, he cuts his head off, because the only way you can get rid of a serpent is what? You got to cut off the head. Okay. So and then God told Adam and Eve when they sinned, but he told Satan, he says, his heel you will bruise, but he will bruise your head. Right. So Satan has always had the prophecy that he was going to get not just destroyed, but that he would be decapitated, or that would be has his head cut off. So three have to be destroyed. So in accordance with the Bible, Nimrod gets destroyed, and two friends that are with him, helping him, also got destroyed. Okay. So that's what really happened in the book of Jasher. Now, what happens in as the Illuminati decides that they're going to honor this? Because remember, they want to bring back the Antichrist. Everything that the world is involved in is them pushing the world into tribulation. If someone doesn't believe in the 7 years of tribulation, they haven't read the Bible. And the Lord told me today, he said, people who say they don't believe in the rapture are just like the people that said, I don't believe in the flood. So it doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. There is a rapture, and there is going to be a tribulation period. Okay. Who's going to be in the tribulation seems to be a lot larger than we think. And I think that's basically because of the emergence of the mega church, the false pastors, the you don't have to live for God, just come to church, have a good Sunday. And, you know, so a lot of people are accepting Christ, but they're not being taught that they have to live for Christ. And so every time we see a mega church, we think, oh, everybody in there is saved. Yeah, think about it. Okay, so I'm going to read this other scripture in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, just for the sake of reading it, so we can see the consistency of the Bible. Chapter 20, verse 10. And what does it say? It says, and he carried me away. Oh, that's chapter 20. Here it is. Okay, here it is. And it says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So God has the prophecy to destroy not one, not two, but three people are going to be destroyed. Satan himself, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, okay? No, I'm okay. I got one right here. Thanks. So, according to various legends, Samarias, okay? It'll be easier for me to tell you the story, because if I read this. Okay, now, here's Nimrod. Because I want you guys to know and understand that when people say they're Catholic, what they're really accepting, okay? So Nimrod is this Antichrist figure, right? He marries Samarias, who is supposed to be his mother, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Who's supposed to be his mother, but he marries Samarias, and then all of a sudden she becomes pregnant, and Nimrod gets killed. He gets murdered. Once Nimrod gets murdered, they cut him up into 13 pieces. This is an Illuminati myth tale. This is not what happened. This is what they say because they're trying, because they're creating false religions in the world, okay? Remember what they're doing. There's only one door to the kingdom of God, and that is Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of Satan creating many doors so that people don't know which door to go in. Because if you go in the wrong door, you die. You understand? If I walk through the door of Islam, I can say I believe in God, but I don't know who Jesus, but I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the one who brought salvation. I can walk in this door and I can believe that Jesus is the brother of Satan and be a Mormon. And I can lose my salvation because I walked in the wrong door. Well, all Satan was doing was, in the beginning, I'm going to create alternative religions for the world. Okay? So Samarius, when Nimrod dies, they find the 13th part. The 14th part they can't find. But she's pregnant at the time when he dies. And she had actually committed adultery, but she wanted to save her name. So she said, Nimrod died and became the sun god. And from the rays of the sun, I was impregnated with his son, Tammuz. And so now she has a baby named Tammuz, and Tammuz becomes a god. Samarius becomes a goddess, and she's married to the god who went down to the darkness of the world. He went down into the darkness, but he's going to be resurrected again someday. Okay, so then when they spread them out all over the world, right? Because God came down and destroyed Babylon, right? And he said, let us go down and destroy what they're doing. And then now they don't understand. So now you're getting other people are moving out. So you get Egypt. Egypt does the same thing as what they did in Babylon. They have a sun god, Osiris. They have a mother goddess, Isis. Sorry for my spelling. And they have a sun god named Horus. Okay? And we've had black pastors go to Egypt and say, Jesus' real name is Horus. Because they believe the myth, okay? So now you got three gods once again, the sun god, the mother goddess, and then you have this god, the sun god, okay? So now when Catholicism broke off, all they did was the same thing. There's a father god, there's a mother goddess named Mary, that's why they pray to her. Understand? And there's the sun god. Okay, but they don't believe that Mary is not a god. She's just as much a god as Samarius was or Isis was, because it's all basically the same thing. Remember that Pergamus is the third church, and Pergamus means mixed marriage. Pergamus means mixed marriage, and that was when the Catholic Church really began. And all it was a mixture of Babylonian paganism and Christianity, because Constantine won a war and he wanted everybody to be Christians, but he didn't want to abandon the Babylonian practices. So he just merged Babylonian practices with Christianity. And then you had the beginning of the Catholic Church, okay? So to them, Mary is a god. She's just as much a god as Isis, and it comes from the same thing as Samarius, okay? So I want you to know and understand that, because this system they're trying to bring back, okay? Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Now, Revelation chapter 12 is a double prophecy, okay? It's a double prophecy. It's a prophecy about a woman, okay? This woman that they're talking about is something that already happened and something that's going to happen, okay? I want you guys to know and understand this, because you got a double prophecy. Well, it's actually one prophecy, because the other one already happened in the past. But this new prophecy is something that's about to happen, okay? Because remember, we're in the book of Revelation, and he's telling you what? The end time prophecies. So here we go. It says, a great and wondrous sign appeared in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain, and she was about to give birth, okay? So this woman is pregnant, and she's pregnant, and she's about to give birth, okay? This is very important because we know that there is a woman in the Bible who was about to give birth. So let's continue reading. She was pregnant and cried out in pain, and as she was about to give birth, then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born, okay? She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. Who is this child that they're talking about? Jesus. Who said Jesus? That is correct. Now, Jesus also says that one of the things that we're going to do in Revelation chapter 20 is we're going to reign and rule with him. Okay? So the church is also going to reign and rule over the nations. Do you understand? So he's talking about the church, and they're talking about Jesus at the same time. You've got two different prophecies that are being talked about here. One has already happened, and the other one is about to happen. Here we go. It says, so I want to go back a little bit, okay? So I want us to understand this. Okay, it says here, his tail, he's talking about Satan, his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. That's when Satan rebelled. And so a third of the angels also rebelled with him and were cast out. And it said, the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. Now, if that child, that Israel, because the other woman figure is the nation of Israel, Israel is giving birth to a child. And this child is going to be born because of the nation of Israel. The only way we have the opportunity to have salvation is because Jesus is Jewish. And Jesus is from Israel.
Yeah.
And so Israel is about to give birth to a child. And this child is going to reign and rule with Christ. But now we're talking about the church, and we're not talking about Mary. Okay? So you'd have to read this twice and say, okay, this is about the church, and then read it again and say, this is about Mary, okay? And then you'll see both stories are in this, okay? He says, it says, the dragon stood in front of the woman, Israel, who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. Now watch this. I want you to stay there, but I'm going to read in Revelation chapter 17, okay? And it says here, one of the 7 angels who had 7 bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed fornication. With the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her fornication. And the angels carried me away in the spirit. Then I saw the woman sitting on a beast, that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and glittering with gold and precious stones. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with the abominable things and with the filth of her adultery. The title was written on her head, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes, the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints. You see that? That means she tried to devour the church. Satan tried to devour the church as soon as it was born. She was drunk with the blood. So they took Christians, built an arena, and they threw Christians to lions. And the Roman citizens cheered because they were taught to hate Christians because they were trying to get people away from their traditional religions. And so all of these Christians were being thrown to the lions. So Satan was trying to destroy the child as soon as it was born. Now with Jesus, soon as Jesus was born, what did Herod say? Go kill every child 2 years and under, right? So Satan tried to destroy Jesus as well. So you have to see the double prophecy, okay? Let's go back to chapter 12. I don't think I have to work this hard, but okay. Are you there still? In Revelation chapter 12? Okay, verse 5. And it says, so she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled in the desert. Now, wait a minute. The child was snatched up. It uses the word harpazo. So now it's saying, Jesus got raptured. That means Jesus was walking in something with, and pulled him up immediately. Jesus never got raptured. Okay, I'm going to give you the difference between the word. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the word is epero, which means he ascended up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus did not get, the word harpazo means to snatch out of the way, to snatch you suddenly out. So Jesus never got raptured, but he ascended. Nothing had to grab him and snatch him and pull him up. He just ascended, okay? So who is this child that gets snatched up? The church. So now we have to confirm, because the Old Testament in Exodus, I believe it's in Exodus, it may be in 12, or it may be Deuteronomy 12. Let me think. No, Leviticus chapter 12. It says, when a Jewish woman has a male child, she will be unclean for 7 days. So if Israel is about to have a child, a male child, that means for the next 7 years, she's going to be unclean, okay? Do you guys want to read that scripture?
Yeah.
So you remember it? Okay, let's go to Leviticus chapter 12. And I have to go back and tell you guys something else too, which is really, really incredible. Okay, you're in Leviticus. And if you're in chapter 12, okay, here it is. It says, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelite, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son, that means a male child, right, will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly cycle. On the 8th day, the boy is to be circumcised, okay? So when a Jewish woman gives a birth to a male child, she's unclean for 7 days. Israel gives birth to the church, and it doesn't say it says, when she gives birth to this male child, now she's going to be unclean for 7 years until after the 7 years is over, then she can circumcise the child. Okay? So it's the same thing because once the church gets snatched up, who's unclean?
Israel.
And she won't be clean until God comes and purifies her again and rescues her, then circumcise her children, okay, so that they can join in with the rest of the family, okay? Because he's going to put his word in their hearts, okay?
Yes.
He's going to take away their flesh, and he's going to give them a new resurrected body, and he's going to then join them together with us, but it won't happen till after the 7 years of tribulation,
right?
Okay?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to go to Isaiah so we can clarify this, because I'm going to have to move on in Isaiah 68. Is it 66? We'll see when I get there. Okay. Is Isaiah 66. Now watch this. It says in verse 7, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pain comes upon her, she delivers a son. You hear that? So before who goes into labor?
Israel.
What is the tribulation called? It's called the birth pains.
Yeah.
Okay? It's called travailing in birth pains, right? But before she travails in birth pains, it says she gives birth to a male child, okay? And then it says after that, who has ever heard of such a thing? To emphasize the fact that it's impossible for a woman to give birth to a son without going through birth pains first.
Right.
Okay, they didn't have C-sections like before, right? Shots and all that, right?
Right.
It was like you having a kid, you're gonna go through it.
Right.
So now it's impossible to go through that without having travail. But Israel says one day is going to have a child that's going to be harpazoed out of the world. He's not going to sin. It's going to be raptured out of the world. And after that, she will be 7 years unclean until the Messiah comes and purifies her once again. Okay?
Yeah.
So, I want us to go back to Revelation chapter 12, because that's where this study is really about. Okay. You're in Revelation chapter 12. And, I forgot to tell you this. Watch this. In the beginning, it said, a great and wondrous sign appeared in the heaven, a woman was clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars above her head. Now, when they say the woman, that woman is representing one of the star constellations. And which star constellation is that? Virgo. Every year, Virgo has 9 stars above her head. Only one year, she had 12. And that was when Jesus was born. 2017, all that time passed. And in 2017, when Scotty saw this,
right,
on this, he said, hey, the Virgo constellation is going to have 12 stars above his head, and it hasn't happened since Jesus was born. So in 2017, which was the 6,000th year of mankind and the 120th Jubilee,
yeah, thought that was it.
12 stars appeared above the constellation of the mother or the Virgo, which they call the Virgin, right? And so since all of that lined up, everybody in 2017 was like rapture, 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 rapture. Okay? And was it wrong for us to do that? No, because scripture was showing you something and we're supposed to be watching. Okay. I wanted you to know that before we moved on.
Amen.
Okay, now, and it snatched away. Okay, now watch this. In verse six. If the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. So for the rest of the tribulation, God's going to protect her. So that tells you what? That tells you what? That at this time, something's about to happen, okay? It says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled down to the earth, he and his angels with him, and I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That was a lot. Now listen. Now God takes you from the rapture happened. Now he takes you where something else is about to happen in heaven, and God's going to have to protect Israel, because who's getting kicked out? Satan's going to be kicked out of heaven in the middle of the tribulation. He's being kicked down. Now he knows he has a short time. Now he really wants to destroy Israel. And now he spews out of his mouth this water that's supposed to consume Israel and destroy them, which is in Psalms chapter 124, right? Which is the middle of the tribulation. That's a whole other thing. God. But it's like, so, it's like you get my brain, huh, Pastor Ben? You're like, there's so much stuff to tell you this is about to happen, right? Okay. So he gets kicked out and he says, now has come salvation and God is going to protect him for 1,260 days. Okay, and it can't, okay. Now, I want us to go to Revelation chapter 13. Because you got to understand and know this. Look, the whole world, after the flood, okay, we have the 120 years. We have the beginning of the trouble. We had more trouble after Trump left. It got worse, okay? He left on the 17th of Heshvan, the day of the flood. And so for a whole year, it's been getting worse. All the way up to the Afghanistan thing and all of these things. It kept getting worse. And now we get to the time where it's the 27th of Heshvan and God speaks and says, come off the ark. And when he speaks and says, come off the ark, he says, now comes forth the Antichrist. Nimrod now comes forth. And he says, everybody's going to be one language and one speech and going to be here and you're going to do what I tell you to do. And so now this spirit is about to return. Okay? It wants a one world government. It wants to rule over all people. That's why I kept telling you, don't get happy because you can go to sporting events now, because Satan did too much work in 2020 to get everything set up to let you go back to normal. You understand? Therefore, we need a Delta. And now we need a Omicron or whatever, right? And so now, and then this name is a satanic name for fallen angels, right? For a group of fallen angels. So they use this as the new variant, they say, right? So now we got all of this stuff going on. People are trying to figure out how we're going to keep our jobs, how we're going, you know, the whole world is like, they're pushing the whole world into what? Into tribulation. Yeah. Because normal is never going to be normal again until Christ comes down and destroys what Nimrod is trying to do. What is Nimrod trying to do? He wants a one world government. He wants a one world system. He wants a one world finance. Okay? So, all right, you in Revelation chapter 13? Okay. Let's see, where should I start? Okay, let's start at the top. It said, I saw the beast come out of the sea. Where's he at now? He's been kicked out. Remember that, okay? He's been kicked out. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and each with blasphemous names. Now, the 10 horns represents 10 nations that have been given power by the beast to control the whole earth. They're going to distribute in the world 10 kings to help organize the structure of the Antichrist. So there will be 10 kings, which is in accordance to the Bible, because every time God comes to rescue Israel, 10 has to be destroyed, right? When Moses came, 10 plagues. When Haman tried to kill him, his 10 sons got hung. When Hitler came, his 10 henchmen got hung. And when Christ comes, what? His 10 kingdoms, which are the 10 horns, are going to have to be destroyed. So it's always going to be in the same structure. But now you have in this part, he has 10 horns. This is the tribulation, because he doesn't have 10 horns before. You understand? He doesn't have 10 horns. The earth is not, right now, is not set up under 10 kingdoms.
Right.
But here, the church is gone. The middle of the tribulation come, he's been kicked out, and on earth is already set up 10 horns. Okay? Now, it says this. It says, the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. Okay? And the dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have been fatally wounded, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. You hear that? The whole world was astonished and followed after Nimrod. What did Nimrod do to make them all follow him? But here you have the whole world. Remember what I keep telling you. Someone has to have control of the whole world for the end time prophecy to happen. Therefore, you cannot have a pandemic only in China and say we're almost at the end times. It would have to be the whole world is shut down. Every store everywhere is shut down. Everybody everywhere is wearing masks. It has to be a power that is not only controlling 1, 2, 3, or 4 nations, but controlling the whole world at once. We've seen it. You've had the opportunity to see this happen. Because what's making everybody cooperate? What power is it that's making every nation on the planet cooperate?
His word.
God's word. Because God said it was going to happen. But there's a figure. There is a satanic underline under all this that has the ability to control every nation. And if you didn't think it could happen before, now you know it can. Okay? Let's finish. It says, the world was astonished and followed after the beast. Men worshiped the dragon because he had been given authority. He had given his authority to the beast, and they also worshiped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? I was going to say something, but I'll leave that alone because it might go down another alley. It said, the beast was given a mouth
to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise authority for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. So he's mad at us too, because we left. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. What saints is he conquering?
Tribulation
saints. And to conquer them. Remember, when they finally get to heaven, it says, these are the ones, because the angel asks, who are these people and where did they come from? It's like the church is already here. The wedding feast is already on. Who are these people and where did they come from? And he says, these are those who came out of the great tribulation. They did not take the mark and they did not worship the beast. And then in Revelation chapter 20, it says they were beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus Christ. Okay? And then we get to the thing of buying 30,000 guillotines, okay? And I'm like, okay, if you didn't buy 30,000 guillotines, why did you kill the guy who told us that you did? You know what I mean? Because the guy who mentioned it was all of a sudden, you know, he's gone. And when we brought it up, you know, people like, oh, that's just conspiracy. Everything's a conspiracy if you don't want to believe anything.
Right.
If you want to stay asleep, everything's a conspiracy, okay? What lie?
10 minutes.
Okay. He was given power to make war against the saints, and he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names who have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Now, they overcame him by their testimony. What are these people doing in the tribulation to accept Christ? They're confessing Jesus. Take the mark or you won't eat. I'm confessing Jesus. I'd rather die than take the mark. I was with my cousin when he disappeared. I heard the trumpet. They're going to be more eager to serve God in the tribulation than they were before they saw what they're about to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this has always been, God says, this has always been this 70th year of Daniel, the 70th year, that last 7 years that Israel was never granted, is going to be given to them in the tribulation. It covers the 7 years that they will be unclean,
yes.
Okay? It covers the 3.5 in the beginning and the 3.5 after. And so all this is about to happen upon the earth.
Amen.
Okay. Anyone? Okay, if anyone should go into captivity, there'll be no protection. If anyone wants to go into captivity, in captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed, he must be killed with the sword, okay? With the sword, he will be killed. This call for patience and endurance and unfaithfulness on the part of the saints. These are called the faithful. He called the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Okay. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of men. Because of the sign he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the beast so that it would speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in, the Greek says, in his right hand or in his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast. It is the number 666. So now, what is the code number on the vaccine?
060.
What is the cryptocurrency code number that is coming to change all finances over into digital money? 060606. That is coming. What we have now is a precursor. The world is being set up. We're at the end of this boat trip, and I'm praying the 27th of Heshvan that everybody gets the heebie-jeebies scared out of them. And we hear that beautiful voice say, come up here. Because it is obvious this place is not for decent people right now.
Amen.
This place is not for people who love God right now. They're trying, they're doing their best to control people. I saw all these 140 police officers walk off the job in San Diego and said, if you're gonna force us to do this, we're not gonna work here anymore. They walked off, okay? The people that are all kinds of people are like, no, we're not doing it. They're walking off. I had a picture and I couldn't post it. The FIFA had 108 of their players collapse and have heart attacks within the last year, okay, when the thing started. Now, they said their league's been into existence for almost 100 years. The most they've ever had was 5 over 100 years. But since this whole thing started, with the you must take this, they've had 108 players die of heart attacks during games. So everybody knows it's crazy, and they're not gonna let up, because now you got the new thing, and then after that, there'll be a new thing until the whole world comes. So this is all pushing the world so that Nimrod can return and that they can have their one world leader once again, okay? So praise God. Hope you enjoyed the Bible study.